Deuteronomy 6 makes it so clear that we should be pointing our children to God at all times. This means it's part of their formal education and their informal education.
This is Family Policy Matters, a weekly radio show and podcast from NC Family, designed to better inform listeners about the critical issues of the day and encourage you to be voices of persuasion for family values in your communities. And now your host, NC Family President John Rustin.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. While many of us are still in the throes of summer and summer vacations, students at year-round schools across North Carolina have already started hitting the classroom. Moreover, in just a matter of weeks, schools on the traditional calendar will be gearing up as well. Here in North Carolina, we're fortunate to have a variety of K-12 educational options, including traditional public schools, charter schools, private and parochial schools, and homeschooling. And with the growth of opportunity scholarships and other school choice initiatives, more and more parents in our state have a real choice to decide where their children go to school. Now, of course, academics are a fundamentally important consideration as parents make these decisions, but many parents are also deeply concerned about the values and influences their children are exposed to in the school environment. This is especially true when it comes to matters of faith and finding ways to support and encourage the development of faith in our children. Today's guest has worked toward that goal as a teacher, a missionary, and a mother, and joins us today to offer some practical guidance on how to balance educational achievement while at the same time supporting and fostering faith in our kids. Jessica Burke is a former public school educator turned homeschool mom and middle and high school humanities teacher. In addition to her educational background, Jessica and her husband worked as missionaries in North Macedonia for 3 years before moving to North Carolina. She now draws from her experiences in education, motherhood, and the mission field as a writer and a member of the Leadership Council of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Jessica, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm excited about this conversation.
Well, I am too. So Jessica, as we begin, kind of a big question here, but when it comes to our children's education, how do we properly balance our desire for them to achieve academic success with our desire for them to establish a meaningful and living faith? Certainly these two things are not mutually exclusive, but they can be challenging in today's highly charged cultural and educational environments.
Yeah, I think the first place to start is by being careful that we don't think that education and school are the same thing. School is one way that we receive an education, but, you know, it's not the only way. And I don't even know that it's the most important way. School will last us 13 to 17 years, maybe a little longer if you go on to graduate school. But our educations are supposed to last our entire life. We're always learning and changing. As parents, we're prone to focus on the utilitarian purposes of education and what we've defined as success. But parents, our first focus should be the heart. We have to make choices about children's education, thinking about what person they are becoming. The type of school our child attends is not going to save them, but we have to consider what they are being taught to love and how it's shaping their affections. We have to be humble people in these choices. I think a good education should be humbling because it reveals where we are lacking.
Well, that's really interesting and a great perspective. Now, Jessica, it sounds like kind of in a broader sense, perhaps even more importantly than what our children learn, the subject matter itself, is why they learn. I kind of get that from what you shared already. Why is it so important for our children to gain an understanding and appreciation of the educational or learning process itself, in addition to just the subject matter?
Yeah, you know, children, actually all people, we should be learning that we might know God and enjoy Him forever. I think that's our purpose in life. You know, all knowledge belongs to God. So through our learning about His world, about the way He's ordered things, about His intricate design of creation, about His wisdom and kindness, you know, so learning about His world, we learn more about who He is. I think the more I learn about the stars in the sky, the more I'm praising Him as our creator. Or the more I learn about patterns in math, the more I'm in awe of Him. the more I learn about how he intricately designed nature, the more I rely on him as my sustainer and the giver of life. I think the more I learn, the smaller I feel and the bigger I realize God is. This is why we should learn. The Bible tells us that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. And I think there's no higher commandment for education. And then Jesus said that the second commandment is to love our neighbor. So we learn so we will love God better, and then we should put what we learn to work so we can love our neighbor better through service.
Mm. Well, that's a great thing to understand and consider. Now, Jessica, you were quoting a part of Deuteronomy 6, which implores us, as you said, not only to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength, and to place God's commandments on our hearts, but to also impress these commands on our children, and to talk about them when we sit at home and when we walk along the road and when we lie down and when we get up. So basically all the time. From your perspective, how does Deuteronomy 6 really demonstrate education and learning and teaching as a form of discipleship?
Yeah, I think Deuteronomy 6 is so important to us as parents. We're given the great responsibility and privilege of discipling our children. An 18th century educator and philosopher kind of put it this way with her motto that education is an atmosphere, a discipline, and a life. It's the same with discipleship. Like you said, it's all the time. We need to teach them the scriptures. We need to tell them about God's faithfulness. We need to teach our children his laws and statutes and teach them that we should fear God and serve him alone. And you know, the warnings of not doing this are serious. So we're supposed to teach God's words diligently. Deuteronomy 6 makes it so clear that we should be pointing our children to God at all times. And this means it's part of their formal education and their informal education. So I don't think that this means that we need to be delivering sermons to our children. But it should naturally come out of us because there's nothing more exciting to us than sharing God's story with our children.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a radio show and podcast from NC Family. You can sign up to receive an updated podcast each week on iTunes or any podcast app. To listen to the show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
So how can parents help children emphasize virtue over achievement, for example, particularly when it comes to school and education?
Yeah, so we start by, instead of emphasizing grades or test scores or other measurements, we should evaluate whether or not our children's education is helping them love what they should. You know, achievement in school doesn't reveal what the heart loves. And I think even the most involved parents can't understand everything that's going on in the heart, nor should we. You know, that's the Holy Spirit's job. So to encourage our children to be thinking about the eternal, to focus on virtue rather than achievement, we should praise them for their growth in character and virtue. We're really quick to praise them for grades and test scores. But if we're praising our children for displaying genuine kindness, self-control, love, then we're showing what really matters to us, and I think more importantly to God. We have to focus on those things that can't be measured, how our children are being changed by what they are learning.
Well, I think that's an important lesson for all of us to consider because we in our culture can be so focused on achievements and works and things of that nature. Now, I know from a practical standpoint at school sometimes, and I was guilty of this myself, but sometimes kids can kind of check out at school if they don't understand why a particular subject is important or relevant. So how do you deal with this, and how can parents help their children understand why it's important to learn about a broad range of topics? Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
So a lot of students will ask if they are learning something, or they'll say that it's boring or that they don't need it. And those types of comments are done in grumbling, usually, because learning's hard, because the work we have to do is hard. And what it's really showing is that they don't know something, but they don't want to admit that because we're prideful. But we need to learn. I don't think that there's an unimportant subject. like I said earlier, all knowledge belongs to the Lord. So as we pursue knowledge, we're learning about Him and His world. That's pretty important. So when it comes to my kids' education, I want to be careful that I don't rate subjects by what I think is most important, because oftentimes in doing so, our choices are really pragmatic. But we're not programming robots or educating humans, and our children need a broad education. And really, we don't know what is going to spark interest in them and what they're going to pursue later in life.
Well, and speaking of pursuing things later in life, how can parents and teachers help children, and ourselves for that matter, learn the importance not only of education, but of work, which is really a vital part of the human experience? I think these principles very much apply to us when we are in K through 12 schools and in post-educational learning, and then when we enter the workforce, we're always challenged to learn and grow and to expand our knowledge. So what are some of the principles that apply to us from the standpoint of work?
Regardless of what their work is, they need to do it to the glory of God. Whether it's my 8-year-old working on subtraction or my 14-year-old working on geometry, or whether they become a street sweeper or a neurosurgeon, you know, if they're honoring God and working with excellence, then they should be happy with their work. I always tell my children that they have no control over whether or not there's a dust at something, but they do have control over their attitude in their work and how they apply themselves to it. And I think we have to model this.
Well, that's a great encouragement. Now, Jessica, for families whose children attend schools that don't necessarily emphasize faith, how can parents help their children better understand how school and their education really can foster their faith and help them love God and love others better?
So I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy 6. We can help our children make the connections as we share life with them. We can do this at the dinner table or while we're taking a walk or even playing a game. You know, we can show them that history shows us God's faithfulness and science reveals much about God and the arts remind us that God loves beauty. You know, literature teaches us so much about humans and can remind us how sinful we are and how whole God is. So we should be talking about God every chance we can. And, you know, I think that these conversations happen more naturally if I'm pursuing my own education in various ways so I can grow and learn and serve God better. And I'm modeling this for my children. But also, I think we need to teach our children to serve others. There's so many ways that my children can apply what they're learning in school to service for the good of others. And it's so good for them because as they grow, they need to be needed. They're not working in school just for good grades, but they're working so they can do good to others. You know, even the littlest ones can use what they're learning to serve others.
Well, absolutely they can. Now, Jessica, unfortunately, we're just about out of time for the week. But before we go, I want to ask if you might suggest a few helpful resources for our listeners on the topic of properly balancing faith and educational achievement, as we've been discussing today.
Yeah, so I really recommend Jean Veith's book, Loving God with All of Your Mind. I think it would be a great place to start. I think it's probably going to be a book that my children are required to read before they leave house. I also love the work that the Searcy Institute is doing, helping parents and educators see the real purpose of education. And I would recommend that people check out what they're doing.
Excellent. Well, Jessica, thanks for those recommendations. We will be listing those on our website in the transcript of this radio program. So if folks go to our website at ncfamily.org, again, ncfamily.org, and click on the radio show link, then they can get access to those resources that you mentioned, and we appreciate you recommending those. With that, unfortunately, we're out of time for this week, but Jessica Burke, I wanted to thank you so much for being with us and for sharing all that you have with us on Family Policy Matters.
You have been listening to Family Policy Matters, a weekly radio show and podcast from NC Family. To listen to the show online, and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.